New CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them!
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it up!
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Billy Embody. We are all back from our respective vacation time, and boy, did we hit the ground running with SEC Media Days, a big commitment for the Tigers. And really a big start to July in recruiting for LSU. And with me is Sonny Shipp. We're going to talk about Trevante Citizen, the four-star running back, committing to LSU later this week because the new rankings are also out. But we wanted to lead off the week with takeaways from LSU's day in Hoover. I was on the ground. We were all watching Ed Ogeron, Austin Deculus, and Derek Stingley Jr. take center stage for SEC Media Days. And Sonny, I think I want to lead off with Austin Deculus. You and I were talking about this before we recorded, and there is, I think, a lot more confidence in the offensive line in a way after this media day, just because you look at the work that Austin Deculus has done over the course of his career to get down from 355 to 320. He's one of the leaders on this offensive line. He talked up Brad Davis when we had our kind of one-on-one time with him and talked up really the work of the entire offensive line. There wasn't much to go off of at SEC Media Days, but I think the big takeaway for me was just how, I think, much confidence Austin Deculus had in that entire group to kind of bounce back even without Dare Rosenthal.
Yeah, I think, you know, in kind of hitting SEC Media Days overall, man, I don't, and I think you feel the same way, but I hate to put words in your mouth, but was that one of the more uneventful SEC media days we've seen from an LSU perspective? And the reason I say that is it's not a knock on Ed Orgeron, but because Ed Orgeron makes himself so available to the media throughout the summer and basically throughout the year. I mean, he goes on 104.5 every Tuesday morning. And so there's really not much that he could talk about when he spends 15 minutes on the radio every week that he hasn't already covered, you know, once he gets to Hoover. So I was kind of, you know, I don't want to say I was kind of bored, but there really just wasn't much at all that came out from Coach O at Media Days that we really didn't already know. I mean, did you kind of have that take two?
No, I thought you nailed it. And you know, there was, you know, I asked him about recruiting and there's, you know, some stuff on that front we're going to talk about in a bit. But, you know, overall, it was kind of a nothing burger. You know, he ran down, you know, the changes he made to the staff, made, you know, some comments on the quarterback competition and how it's going to play out. But overall, it was pretty, you know, ho-hum. Like you said, he goes on the radio every week. A lot of the topics have been covered. There really wasn't any surprises out of LSU from SEC Media Days. Even Derek Stingley Jr. was finally asked, you know, himself about how playing wide receiver could go. But instead, you know, he just said that's going to be a Coach O thing and we'll see how it plays out. So, you know, for LSU, it was pretty quiet. But, yeah, I thought, you know, I got to talk with Austin Deculus for almost 20 minutes. Up in kind of the quote-unquote green room before he went into the main room. And he really talked up a lot of the young offensive linemen. Garrett Dellinger was somebody that he really talked up, and Ed Ogeron has as well. It seems like, you know, even though Dare Rosenthal is a big loss, like I think that's, you know, goes without saying, that's your left tackle, even as kind of unreliable he was to be in the lineup. He feels like this group is going to be, in a way, better prepared, I think, just kind of reading between the lines. It seems like Brad Davis just demands a whole nother level out of that group.
Yeah, and I think you touched on something that's really important, Wild Bill, and that is, you know, how unreliable, you know, Dare Rosenthal has been. You know, even in the 2019 season, you know, when Sadiq Charles, they kind of had to offset those two suspensions, you know, from who would miss games, who would not. And then of course we, you know, we've heard this with Dare throughout his career. And so that kind of makes me wonder, like, okay, now, you know, you got a guy, Cam Wire, projected to start at left tackle, a guy that from everything that we know has never dealt with any, you know, any disciplinary situations, hasn't been suspended, you know, hasn't, you know, is kind of a quiet, low key guy. And you, it makes me wonder that, okay, if Cam Wire is going to be your starting left tackle, does that give the offensive line a little more, you know, a little more stability and a little more confidence in that now they know who, assuming that he can man the job and keep, you know, keep all the reserves from taking his spot, can, you know, does that lend a little more stability to this group? You know, you always talk here, offensive linemen talk about how important it is to have continuity with the guy playing next to you. You know, you want to be in lockstep with that guy. Well, how hard, you know, I wonder how hard that has been, you know, when you've got a guy who's missing four games, who's missing five games, who's missing six games. And so that's going to be interesting for me to see, like, how the offensive line, you know, how they deal with that. And don't get me wrong, you know, Darren Rosenthal is a guy that if he puts everything together with his, you know, with his skill set, with his physical traits, you know, he's a guy that we could see, you know, that we could see possibly on day two of the NFL draft if he has a, you know, if he has a big year up at Kentucky. But you know, I'm just anxious to see that. I'm anxious to see if they establish a little more continuity, knowing now that, you know, if the guy next to you gets the job done, he's going to be next to you for 12 games. Whereas with Rosenthal, it kind of makes us wonder, you know, if that would have been the case.
I totally agree on that front. And I think Cam is somebody that has continued to come along. You know, we saw him in spurts play really well in that spot starting duty last year. And he stepped in some big situations. So, you know, I do think that it's a position, especially at left tackle, that, you know, maybe LSU does miss Darren Rosenthal. On the other side, if Cam Wire continues to develop the way you think he can, he's got that athletic profile to do that, he could be, you know, one of the surprises on that entire group. Overall, it just seems like this group is bought in a little bit more. Brad Davis being a little bit more of a disciplinarian, Ed Ogeron's mentioned that in the past. Maybe that's kind of the kick in the tail that they need. And, you know, with a full off season too, and one, you know, that's kind of back to normal, you know, working with Tommy Moffitt, just seems like that group's going to have the chance to, you know, take some steps forward this year. They're going to have to in front of whoever is playing quarterback for him. It seems like Max Johnson might have the upper hand right now, just kind of reading between the lines, at least in my book. But I was talking with, you know, Austin Deculus. I said, is there more pressure on you to, you know, block better, you know, just to simplify it, when Max Johnson is in there? He said, you know what? I read Twitter. If I don't block, if I don't get my job done, not only am I going to be benched, I'm going to catch the wrath of people online. So, you know, for me, it's just doing my job. And that's kind of the mindset that the entire offensive line has taken.
Yeah. And I think when, you know, and I think Deculus, you know, first off, I think Deculus being a representative there in Hoover, I think that speaks volumes to the leadership role that he has kind of taken on now. You know, we're talking about a guy who's going to be a four-year starter in the SEC at right tackle. You know, now granted, taking advantage of the extra year comes into play, but man, it, you know, he's going to, barring injury, he'll break the record for playing the most games in his career. And probably, you know, if, you know, depending on how many games LSU plays, if LSU played 15 games in 2021 and he started all of them, he may even have the record for the most starts in his career. We'd have to look at that. But, you know, I'm pretty excited about the offensive line. You know, you've got everybody back, even with Cam Wire. Now you've got five guys who all have, you know, significant starting experience from last year. You've got all of those guys back. We've seen them over the summer. We saw them when we went up for the camps and stuff in June. We've talked to sources. We've heard the same thing, that it looks like the guys are getting it. You know, when I was there at the first camp in June, I talked to a lot of players and I asked them, I was like, look, you know, Does it look like the, you know, does it look like the guys in the trenches have kind of bought in? You know, I mentioned the fact that, hey, you know, you can't even look me. I told one guy, I said, look, you can't even look me in the eye and tell me that most of those guys weren't out of shape last year. So don't get offended when I ask you this. And they laughed. But all of the offensive linemen seem to have bought in and seem to realize that, look, you know, last year they all had too much gut. I was even talking to one coach, and one coach said that half of them looked like they were in their third trimester. I couldn't stop laughing about that one. But I think that shows you, you know, how they've bought in. You know, Deculus at 320, down 35 pounds from when he got here and stuff. But to me, he looks more toned. He looks better put together than he did last year. And from the guys that I saw, I kind of will go across the line, and really all of them do. All of them looked, looked better. All of them looked better put together, a little more tone, and just look like they, when you look at them and stuff, you're not going to look at them and say, man, those guys look out of shape. I think now this year when people look at them, I think people are going to say, okay, that looks like an SEC offensive line right there. So it's going to be interesting to see how that translates onto the field. Because, I mean, you know, the offensive line, let's face it. I mean, last year you were 10th in the SEC in sacks allowed at 2.5 a game. You were 12th in the SEC in rushing. At 121 yards a game, which puts you 109th in the country. I mean, those are numbers that you absolutely have to improve on if you want to have a chance to, you know, to reach double digit wins in 2021. And I think those guys realized it. And I think they kind of, that Ed Orgeron put them to the fire and put them to the task. And I think, you know, from everything that I've seen so far and heard is that they've taken up on that and they've really put the offseason to good use.
Completely agree. And one player that has also put the offseason in good use, and we spoke with him as well, as Derek Singley Jr. And the takeaway from me, you know, both of us, all three of us here at Go 24/7 have known Derek forever now, it seems like. And he just really told us like how much he's worked on the mental side of things. And last year was a really difficult year for him. He played through a lot of injuries, really, you know, had to be just mentally strong to get through that. And now he's 100% healthy. He's ready to play out his final season at LSU, wearing number 7, preseason All-American, doing all the things that we expect him to do. You know, he's somebody that is going to be, I think, one of the best players in college football because of that. But the mental aspect is something that he has really worked on. He's done a lot of reading. He's done a lot of, talks with different people, trying to get a better handle on the mental side of the game. And I think not only will that help him this year, but it'll help him when he does go on and become a, you know, NFL draft pick and a very high one at that.
Yeah. And you touched on something that I think is so huge and so critical when we think about Derek Stingley last year compared to his freshman season when he was on just about everybody's All-America list as a true freshman. The medical condition that kept him out of the Mississippi State game, I mean, that was they were pretty scared about that. They were pretty scared because not knowing of how that was going to turn out, worried about the test coming back and everything. And even once he got a go ahead to get back on the field, you have to think that something like that is probably weighing on a 19-year-old kid. A kid also playing in a first year offense with in Bo Pelini's system. That it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at how the players played and realize that they were not on the same page as the coach. And I think we could go across the defense to say that. But I think that Derek Stingley Jr.'s sophomore season was probably more mentally tough than the physical side of being banged up, just because that's a lot to put on a 19-year-old kid. And I could be reading too much into that, but that's something that I've thought about and just always wondered, you know, how much of a toll, how taxing that could have been that affected his game to where, because if you're thinking more, if you got a lot on your mind and you're not out there playing football and you're not reacting, you're going to play slower. You're going to be a step slower. And so, I'm ready to see how he comes out this year and if he's just able to put last season in the rearview mirror and get back to that 2019 form.
Yeah, I think he will. And he just, once again, takes another step up in maturity in my mind, recognizing those things he needs to work on. But, you know, he had a really good day at, you know, SEC Media Days. You know, there wasn't really too much to ask of Derek Stingley. He's going to leave it up to Ed Ogeron about playing wide receiver. I think he ends up sticking at corner as it stands. But, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll see him in some packages, you know, get on the field. But, you know, to close out, there was a big recruiting, you know, piece of news that came out as Ed Ogeron was, you know, doing Radio Row. And we didn't see the Hold That Tiger tweet until right after he got done off the podium. And that was Trevante Citizen committing to LSU. And we'll talk about that more in the next episode when we go through the rankings and also just kind of what he means for the class. But, you know, I asked Ed Ogeron, I said, this is a stacked year in Louisiana in 2022. And one, you know, what can you speak to the job you guys have done? And then two, is it more competitive than you've ever seen it? And, you know, for lack of a, he didn't come out and say that, but you could tell this is a more competitive year in Louisiana for these top recruits. The staff recognized it and really, you know, has taken it upon themselves to try to lock down the state. And Ed Ogeron said they feel really good about landing pretty much everyone. He wouldn't promise that they'd get everyone on board. But overall, I mean, he really, you know, made a statement in terms of their confidence level in recruiting the state the rest of the way in 2022.
Yeah. And there was a lot that, and deservedly so, that folks criticized Ed Ogeron for last year. You know, he, for lack of a better word, you know, he kind of put his foot in his mouth several times by things that happened and, you know, the things that happened throughout the year. But the one thing that doesn't seem like it suffered much at all was recruiting. You know, even with, you know, you're 3-5 going into week 9, you're 3-5, you know, playing in December. You're getting ready for the early signing period. And, you know, they win their last two. But even all the turmoil, look at what they did, how good they finished in that class, another top 5 class. And then that kind of parlayed over into the 2022 class to where, you know, they never really got behind the 8-ball with these guys. You know, you look at Walker Howard, you look at Will Campbell, you know, you look at a lot of these guys, and it's almost like even with the season and even with the turmoil kind of surrounding Ed and surrounding the program, recruiting was almost, you know, was almost not phased at all. And I think that's a tribute to Ed in a lot of ways, because, you know, Ed does a lot of the lifting when it comes to recruiting. He's not a guy who's going to be heavily involved in the X's and the O's, you know, when you're game planning and you're scheming against Alabama or Florida or whoever. But when it comes to recruiting, you know, I think he kind of takes a little bit off of his assistants' plates when it comes to that, because that is his forte. And I think that's going to allow his assistants to spend more time on the game planning and on the scheming. So, I tip my hat to Coach O and to the staff for how they never let anything, they never let any of the noise from the outside that he always talks about affect recruiting.
I completely agree. And part of that goes to, you know, the way Ed Ogeron's built the program. And I was talking with some of the other media out there, one, just about new hires in across the league at the head coaching position. And, you know, one of them was Shane Beamer at South Carolina. He was there that same day. And the thing that we kind of talked about, and who knows how Shane Beamer will end up at South Carolina, but the point was made, it's not always going to work out with a hotshot coordinator who's called plays. But sometimes those coaches that are really good recruiters, really good, you know, personalities, organizational managers, things like that, can pan out as head coaches because of that style that they run in terms of their program. And so that was something that was brought up about why Ed Ogeron's been, you know, for the most part successful at LSU, obviously has a national championship that, you know, has that success that, you know, has reached the top of the mountain and everything like that. But just overall, they've been able to turn the program from the kind of downtrodden Les Miles end to this perennial contender. You know, 2020 was a step back. There were a lot of things that went into that. You know, he touched on Bo Pelini and how it just didn't work out, and, you know, the changes he made to get this thing back on track. And that's something that Ed Ogeron has done consistently at LSU is, one, had them in contention for the most part in the SEC West. And then on top of that, when something's broken, he's fixed it himself. And that's, this offseason is going to be another test of that. The changes that he made, the people he brought in, the transfers they brought in, all of those things are going to either add up to this program getting back into that, you know, 10 win right in the mix for the SEC West championship type of season, or, you know, it could not go as hot as, you know, people think. And, you know, that's, you know, fair. This is, I've said this on the pod. I think this is a boom or bust type of team, but, you know, Ed Ogeron, the way he's recruited, they've set it up for the most part to be a successful program. And I think that's the thing that, you know, we've hung on to, in especially when watching Louisiana, is the job they've done. And it starts with the structure that Ed Ogeron has put in place.
Yeah. And look, last year, LSU didn't have the Johnnies and the Joes that they needed. You know, I didn't quite realize that when, you know, when I made my predictions on how the season was going to go and stuff. Granted, you know, with the opt outs, I mean, we don't have to rehash the opt outs and how much that played into not having the Johnnies and the Joes. But this year, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. Guys have experience. You've got talent across the board. You know, they may not have the most experience, but they have enough experience to where there's no excuses this year. There's no excuses. If they go out and if they only win six games this year, they only win seven games, barring, you know, a just complete meltdown and rash of injuries that just, you know, takes so many key contributors off the field, out of the lineup. If they don't get it done this year, hands down, you point to coaching. I don't think you can point to anything else, because you've got the pieces in place. Now it's just a matter of the coaches getting them to play together, getting them to play up to their potential. And that's where all these new hires come into play, because you got the horses now. You know, you didn't have horses all of last year, but you got them now. So now, you know, if you don't get it done, you got to look at the man at the top and you got to say, okay, coach, what now?
I completely agree. The SEC West is going to be like that in a way. It can be all sorts of wild this year, you know, honestly, outside of Alabama. Alabama's probably going to be right at the top once again. That's almost a sure, safe bet, you know, as much as LSU fans probably hate to hear that. But outside of that, you know, LSU could very well challenge for number one in the SEC West. So could Texas A&M if they figure it out. But LSU is a school that, talking with a lot of national media, it's not going to surprise me one bit to see them pick number two in the SEC West. You know, I think, like I said, the safe bet is to pick Alabama number one. But from there, you could see Ole Miss end up number two. You know, you could see, who knows what Auburn's going to look like. Brian Harsin's had a real interesting first offseason there. Arkansas under Sam Pittman has been a tough out for the most part. It's going to be a wild year in the SEC. And that was kind of one of the takeaways, just talking with other media from my day in Hoover. But, you know, one thing is for sure, Ed Ogeron has the pieces in place. They've got to play up to their potential. And this was kind of the final kickoff before fall camp gets underway. And so we'll be watching it all on go247.com. You know, fall camp previews are going to start to heat up, position previews. So be sure to check it out with the go247.com subscription. Follow the Go247 podcast. Now that we're all off vacation, we're ready to roll, get podcasts out to you guys as well. So for Sonny Shipp, I'm Billy Umbody. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Go247 podcast. We'll catch you later this week with more recruiting news as LSU stays hot on the recruiting trail. Hope everybody has a good start to the week, and we'll catch you then.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.